Well, I want to ask you to turn in your Bibles to a lot of different places. So before we start turning, let's pray. Berachat Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Asher Kidshenu B'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu La'Asok B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. When you think about it, every Jewish holiday is a message of hope, and Hanukkah has a very specific message for us, and it's this, that we can get back what we've lost. What has been taken from us can be restored to us when we trust in the Lord, when we serve the Lord, when we're obedient to the Lord. He can restore lost things. Think about the condition of the Jewish people prior to the victory of the Maccabees and the rededication of the temple. The spiritual life and the freedom of the Jewish people was almost completely lost. It had become illegal to have the Torah, the prophets, the writings, the holy scriptures. How many of you have a Bible with you? And then, can I see paper Bibles? Good. Can I see digital Bibles? Yeah, if you were living during that time, you would be committing an illegal act that was a capital offense. You could lose your life just for having a Torah, for having the scriptures. The temple in Jerusalem had been taken away from the Jewish people and dedicated to false gods, and it looked like there was no hope and no future for the Jewish people and for the nation of Israel and for the covenant with God. And you and I are here today because there was a victory at Hanukkah. The effort to destroy, to suppress, to assimilate the Jewish people was an anti-Messiah work, if you think about it. Had the Greek culture and the government of the Seleucid Greeks been victorious, the Jewish people would have disappeared from the face of the earth. Worship in service to the God of Israel would have come to an end, and Messiah would have not come forth. So we who are yearning for Messiah and are grateful for Yeshua, our Messiah, are also thankful for the victory of the Maccabees. We need to remember that we can get back what we've lost. We need to remember that what was taken from us can be restored. And I want you to never forget that you serve a God of hope. It's important to remember because we can be living in such a way that we lose hope. We can look at circumstances around us. The Maccabees could have been a hopeless group of people. Those who were with them and those who came after them could have lost hope and could have given up on the vision, the calling, the service of the Jewish people to the God of Israel. And had they done so, it would have brought ruin to this world. You and I are called to serve a God of hope. He wants to be known as a God of hope. Now, how many of you watch the news? How many of you read magazines or newspapers? How many of you have no idea what's going on in the world today? Okay, a few of you. How many of you don't want to know because when you look at it, it's like such a disaster? Well, remember this, that God is still in charge. And that the nations of the world rise up and the Lord looks down and sometimes he laughs at the plans of the nations of the world. You and I need to remember that we serve a God of hope. And Paul wrote to the Romans. You can turn there. This is the first place we'll turn today, Romans 15, verse 13. Let me ask you a question. In what country did the Romans live? Italia. Yeah, how many Italian-speaking folk do we have in the room today? All right. Bene, bene. The Barnetts are here with us. Welcome back, Barnetts. Glad to see you. I'm not even sure what to say in Italian. Prego. Welcome back. Botarati. Yeah, they were in Naples serving in the Navy. And now they're back in the States, and we're so glad to see you. We're glad you could join us on this Shabbat and on Hanukkah. The Romans that Paul was writing to in Italy were not Jews, but they were living under the dominion of Imperial Rome. And I want you to pay attention to the radical proposition that Paul is bringing to these people. Remember what Caesar promised to the world through the Roman imperial government. It was Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, that if you would receive the government of Rome over you as a nation, then you would have the best peace that is possible in this world. But Paul says there's another kind of peace. And another source of peace is a radically different position that he's speaking about. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope, say that with me, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. I want this to be a prayer that we say for each other right now. Can you pair up with someone and just say these words? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. May the God of hope fill you with complete joy, with complete peace as you trust in him. Now for us, this is a nice religious, spiritual statement. It's true to us, but it was a radical statement when Paul made it, because he was saying there is another peace that's better than, it's bigger than the peace that man's governments can convey to us. Now, it's wonderful when the governments of a nation are able to provide peace for its citizens. That's why Paul instructs Timothy, first of all, be praying for the leaders of your government so that you can live peaceable lives. And in that condition, you can minister to God, serve God, and have an impact on the society. But there have been times when the governments have failed to provide peace. And yet the believers, those who put their trust in the Lord, may find themselves living in uncertainty or even living in places where war is being fought. And you know what? This instruction is for them too. Where can you get peace in such a time when the governments can't provide it? You can get it from God Almighty, who is strong, who is the source of peace. Now, how do you get this peace? How does it come to you? Do you get into a certain yoga position? Cross your legs a certain way, breathe a certain way, say a mantra, try to make yourself peaceful? Is it through your careful breathing? No, it's not through that. Is it by reading the newspaper to encourage you day by day? That won't help. The way you get this peace is by trusting in the Lord. We trust in the Lord, Yeshua teaches us, by abiding in him and abiding in his word. By letting his word activate us, instruct us, guide us, lead us. By letting his Holy Spirit do a work in us that's very personal. By repenting, turning to him, turning away from our sin, from our independence, and humbling ourselves before the authority of God Almighty, humbling ourselves before the authority of the Word, the Scriptures that he's given to us, and allowing our opinions, our understandings, our preferences to be submitted under his sovereignty. And when we do that, when we start trusting in him, you know what? Peace starts coming to you. At other places in the Scriptures, Paul teaches, bring thanksgiving to the Lord and let your petitions be known, your requests and your needs be known with thanksgiving. They have to join together. And then the peace from God will protect you. It'll protect your heart. It will protect your mind. It will protect your emotions and your thoughts as well, your whole being. May the God of hope He is a God of hope. I want you to tell someone sitting near you, he is a God of hope. He is a God of hope. He is a God of hope. And if you forget that, you forget his very nature and his character. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. Thinking about him is not the same as trusting in him. Trusting in him often comes when we're in situations that require trust because we have no way to get ourselves out of the difficulty, the challenge, to provide for ourselves or to do what we're hoping for. And then it says this, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I was talking to Jared today. In the middle of the night, he discovered rivers of living water flowing out from his hot water heater into his garage and into the walls of his house and into his rooms. And so he had to turn those rivers off. Those are not good rivers, do you agree?
Yes.
That's not the kind of overflow you want. There's another kind of overflow we do want. It's the overflow of hope. Now, how many tend to be optimistic and you see the bright side, you wake up in the sunny side of life every day? Can both of you stand up? Or the three, four of you? Okay, there's more like that. And for some people, it's a battle, isn't it, to wake up and to think this is going to be a good day? Overflowing with hope is not limited to those who have a positive personality and perspective on life. It's not only for those for whom this comes easily. It's for everyone. So if you can see the problems more easily than you can the solutions, if your first reaction is this isn't good, I want to tell you something. You can overflow with hope too. It's not just for Pollyanna people. Can I put it that way? You may overflow with hope. Now, some people cannot imagine having more hope than they can contain. And yet Paul is saying it is possible that hope could rise up in you. It could start spilling out of you. Your personality may be one sort, but God is not limited by your personality. He works with you and through you. He created you with a purpose. It's not necessary that your personality change or your temperament change, but something is important, that you embrace hope because you serve a God of hope. And God wants to do great and powerful things. Where will this hope come from? It will come from the power of the Holy Spirit. You may feel hopeless, but the Holy Spirit is not hopeless. Have you ever tried to make God anxious? I have. I've shared with him how bad things are, how difficult they've been, how hard I've tried, and how things didn't get better. They went from bad to worse. Have you ever been in that condition? Lord, you just have no idea how bad it is. We pray that way. Lord, it's so serious. I can't imagine that this is going to work out. I remember being in a situation, I told some close friends, I can't imagine how this situation is going to work out. Some of you remember me telling you that. Some of you thought, I don't hear him talking like that very often. This is distressing. But I tell you what, we have to be honest with God, but not limited by our perspective. When we start trusting in the Lord, things change inside of us. Our perspective changes because as we're trusting in the Lord, his peace comes. And his peace guards our thoughts and guards our emotions as well. And so we can pray differently. We can think differently. Where do you get this peace? It's not from inside ourselves. It's from God Almighty, the Holy Spirit who takes up residence in us. This is why it's important to repent, believe, receive forgiveness, be filled with the Holy Spirit, be immersed in water, receive the resurrection life that Messiah has for us. It's important because you can't live as a servant of God with all of these things. You cannot do it on your own. You may say, well, I don't believe in gifts of the Spirit. And I'd say that's tough because you need them. Yeshua said, I'm going to return to heaven in order to send the Holy Spirit. And if you said to God, I don't need the Holy Spirit, I can do this on my own, maybe that would explain why you're having some of the challenges and difficulties you are having. God wants you to love the Holy Spirit, to welcome the Holy Spirit, and to receive all the help from him that he can possibly give to you. You serve a God who gives hope. He's made plans to do good for you. He's made plans for your future. I love what Jeremiah says, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. What does God plan to give to you? Hope. Does anybody need more hope today? You can take confidence in this. God has a plan to give you more hope. How do you participate in the plan? You start trusting in him. As you trust in him, you continue to trust in him. Maybe it's easy to trust in him in one area of your life, but not in another area. Maybe you have great faith for one thing, but no faith for another thing. I can tell you this, God is the God of everything. He's God Almighty, not God some mighty. He's not a little mighty God. We don't have songs, what a little mighty God we serve. What a teeny weeny God we serve. No, we serve an Almighty, God Almighty. He was, he is to come. He's eternal God, the God of heaven and earth. And he's filled with hope. He's not looking at this world and saying, I give up. I'm leaving. No, he sent his Holy Spirit to take up residence in you and me because he wants to be present in this world. He wants to have an effect on this world. He wants to use you and me to help bring about this effect. So you and I have assignments from the Lord. We're called to be people of hope. I know that's hard for some of you to receive. I'm going to help you. I believe today will help you. The miracle of Hanukkah is remembered as we light the candles on the menorah. Every night we add another candle to the menorah, the Hanukkah, and that means the light gets brighter. There was a debate in the early days of the celebration of Hanukkah. Should you start with all the candles and then decrease them day by day? Or should you start with one candle and increase them day by day? And we know from experience that the second position won out. And I think it's important because when we see the menorah and the light increasing day by day, it helps us have the right perspective on life. God is sending more light to us, not less light. And every time that he continues to do something with us, every time he acts on our behalf, every time he does something for someone we care about, you know what? It's an indication that his light is shining and increasing. It's a message of hope that the light is getting brighter. You see, God's at work in dark times. You know that these times are dark, don't you? His light will shine. His light will grow stronger. I love what Isaiah says, chapter 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. Get up and shine. What are we supposed to do in times of darkness? Hide ourselves? No, we need to get up. Are we supposed to retreat in times of darkness? No, we rise up. Are we supposed to only shine when everything's good all around us? No, we get up and we shine. Why? Because our light has come. One of the names of Messiah is light. He's light of the world. And so Hanukkah is clearly for us a messianic holiday. It's the celebration, the festival of lights. Arise, shine, for your light has come. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Okay, you're sitting next to someone who needs to hear this, so you tell them, arise, shine, your light has come. Your light has come. Well, maybe it hadn't come for the person you're sitting next to. No, their light has come. Yeshua's come. He's the source of light. He's the perfect light. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. It's not just a promise that it will happen one day. It's a promise that it has already happened. The glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Now, the glory of the Lord, the kavod of the Lord, is an interesting thing. Kavod is a word that implies, among other things, glory and also heaviness. The heaviness of God's glory has come upon you. How many of you remember the hippie days when something that was really great was heavy, man? You see, so when you think about the glory of the Lord, you can say, heavy. I'm in favor of reviving heavy as a word for today. It was good back then. It'll be good again. His light shines on us, and you and I have light to shine for others. Thanks to Messiah. Where does this light come to us from? It comes from Messiah. How does it come to us? Through him, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, he sends his light to us. Yeshua's light guides us, and we can share that light. What are you supposed to do with the light? Put a cover on it. Put a basket over it. No, you're called to be like a city on a hill. Get up somewhere, go find a dark place, shine in that dark place. For some of you, you've been wondering, why are you in such a dark place at work? It's because the Lord wants to shine some light through you. You might be looking all around you and you've been thinking, this place stinks. Well, the Lord wants to send a fragrant aroma. We read about that. Where you are and where you're praising the Lord, there's a sweet aroma that's being spread instead of a stench. I like what the prophet Zechariah said. Zechariah 9, verse 12. It's a call. Come back to the place of safety. All you prisoners, all you prisoners who still have hope, who still have hope. I promise this very day I will repay two blessings for each of your troubles. Now, I know there are some folks who have been struggling with hope and hopelessness and despair, and you've been wondering, is it even possible to get out of the difficulty that you're in? Maybe you've dug such a deep hole you can't imagine that you could ever climb out of it. Maybe you've created a problem for yourself that is so big that you think, you know, I'm on my own. I remember being in a difficult time, and I believed that God could deliver me. He could deliver me from the adversary. He could deliver me from all sorts of things. But I didn't think he could deliver me from problems I created myself. And I remember having that distress because I thought, you know, as you sow, you will reap. And I have to say this, I think the Holy Spirit rebuked me for that and challenged me and said, you believe more in karma than in my covenant. And as if I thought, I had this idea, if I keep thinking like that, I'll become a Buddhist. And some of you have that kind of mentality today. You think, I can't get out of the problem I'm in because I created the problem I'm in. It's a great temptation. We understand our guilt. We understand the way that we got ourselves into difficulty. But I tell you this, that in repentance is rest and salvation. When we repent and we turn, God will give us more help than we could imagine. He will find a way. He will bring us through. I like this translation. I announce I will restore twice as much to you. Maybe you've thought it's not even possible to get out of the difficulty. How would you think if you got twice as much as you had lost? Anybody in favor of that? You're counting up what's been taken from you and you thought, oh, woe is me, it's all lost. But it's Hanukkah. It's rededication. It's restoration time. We're supposed to think differently. And we're supposed to remember, okay, God's keeping track. And when we start embracing him, trusting him, moving as prisoners of his hope instead of hopelessness, he says something to you. This very day I'm declaring that I will restore double to you. Who knew that God could restore and make it double as well? The prophet Zechariah heard those words. He spoke them through the anointing of the Holy Spirit so that today you and I would be able to take this to heart. He can restore double. I like what Hosea says. The prophets of Israel sometimes carry a message of justice, a message of conviction, but they also carry a message of hope. It's important to listen to that very clearly. Hosea 2, verse 15. The Lord says this, I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble. Some of you can relate to that, the valley of trouble. Who can relate to a valley of trouble? You felt that trouble. You've been in the valley. Maybe you're in the valley. I will transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. What a promise from the Lord. He doesn't say, I'm going to take you out of the valley of trouble. He says, this place used to be the valley of trouble. I'm going to change it. It's going to become the gateway of hope. Through this place, you're going to move into hope. The place that gave you trouble is going to change into the door of hope for you. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 says something really clear to us. Peter has an apostolic call to which group of people? The Jews. He's a Jewish apostle. He writes to the Jews in the diaspora. Paul declares that he himself, that Paul, has an apostolic call to the nations, but Peter has an apostolic call to the Jews. In your hearts, Peter writes, revere Messiah as Adonai. It's not enough to think of him as the Son of God, but to remember he's Lord. The one who saves you, the one who's the anointed one, he is Adonai. Peter says, revere him as Adonai. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. Okay, now I want you to practice something, and I want your teammate to evaluate you, give you a score. We're going to do Olympic scores 1 to 10, something like that. This is what you need to do. Smile. And as my wife says to our grandchildren, not that fakey smile. But look at the person who you care about. Think about how much you love them. Smile at them. Let your eyes show it. That's good. That's good. If you're walking around downcast all the time, if you are always so serious about everything, people will not be coming up to you and asking you this question, why are you hopeful? They might come up to you and say, why are you so negative? And you can say, well, I read the Bible. Why are you so despondent? Don't you know the prophecies? Why do you never smile? Because I'm in Messiah. Wrong. We need to remember something. We're called to live in service to a God of hope and to live with hope, to be able to see beyond the difficult situation to the way that God wants to work, the restoration he wants to do, the things he wants to set right. He may use you to wipe away tears from someone else. You know, in the resurrection, in eternity, there won't be any more tears. They'll all be wiped away. Aren't you looking forward to that? But now, in this era, he uses you and me to wipe other people's tears away. He uses a person coming with a word of encouragement, kindness, mercy, love, encouragement, to take away the tears, to give us hope, to renew us, to restore us. And when we've had that experience, we can go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Messiah in you, the hope of glory. Be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that you have. The hope that you have. Can you imagine if there were commentators on the news networks whose major quality was that they had hope? As far as I can tell, none of those guys have a job on the networks. Be prepared to answer anyone who asks you why you have hope. What's the reason for that hope? And Peter goes further. Do this with gentleness and respect. You remember Peter? This is the guy who took his sword and cut off the ear of that one soldier. He learned a lesson, didn't he? Speak to people with gentleness and respect. It's an important lesson in these days. You can't argue people into the kingdom of God. You can't argue those of another religion or another perspective. You can't beat them down and expect to have an impact on them, but you can show them hope that's bigger than the hope they have. You can pray for them in a way that's beyond what they could pray for themselves. You can speak with gentleness and with respect, and when you do that, you know, hearts soften and people can hear things. Why do you have hope? Where does your hope come from? Paul also wrote the Romans. This is Romans 15:4, and he said, the scriptures, the Tanakh, give us hope and encouragement as we're waiting patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. Now we're going to close by turning to Genesis 42. In our Torah portion this week, we're reading about Joseph, who's been released from prison where he was being held unjustly. He'd been forgotten in prison. Those who could have spoken up for him didn't. But at just the right time, the Lord released him and did so in an incredible way. Genesis chapter 42, verses 50 through 52. I just want to pick out this short passage. It says, two sons were born to Joseph before the year of famine came. You remember that God gave an interpretation to Joseph of a dream that Pharaoh had about the coming 7 years of plenty and then the 7 years of famine after that. And so this is Joseph had two sons before the famine came. Osnath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. Joseph called the firstborn Manasseh, because God has caused me to forget all the troubles I suffered at the hands of my family. And the second he called Ephraim, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune. Now, Manasseh and Ephraim, these are nice names, but when you're calling them by these names in Hebrew, you know, it's like saying, hey, fruitful, come here. Dad, why did you call me fruitful? Because God made me fruitful in the land of my misfortune and the land of my affliction. Manasseh. What's interesting to me is that Joseph had been given an Egyptian name by Pharaoh. He married an Egyptian woman, but he gave Hebrew names to his kids. This was like a ray of hope in him. This is how he knew them. Joseph was honest, and he said, somehow these two sons encourage me. I've been through a lot, but God has sustained me. God's caused me to forget all the troubles I suffered at the hands of my family. And that forgetfulness must have meant something, that the pain of it was forgotten. The fact that he could recall it and thus name his son this meant he remembered it, but his heart, I believe, had been healed during those years of trusting in God. When you trust in God, what overflows in you? Hope. Hope overflows. And hope washes away a lot of the bad stuff that's accumulated. Hope is curative. God has caused me to forget all the troubles I suffered at the hands of family. Troubles. Suffering. From whom? Family. Ephraim. God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction and misfortune. I am still fruitful. I have a hope. I have a future. My life is not just defined by the past difficulties I've gone through. What has God planned for me? A hope and a future. You see, Joseph found a way to encourage himself by looking at his sons. He named them in a way that encouraged him inside. And it was like these sons were monuments to him. Monuments that reflected his continued worship and service and trust in God. And every time he called one of them by name, he was saying, God got me through this and he'll take me into even a better future. Now, some people may have thought that to be promoted to be the prime minister of a country, this is the highest achievement possible. It was not for Joseph. There was a greater purpose than what his career path seemed to be. No doubt he had a gift of leadership. Can you agree with that? No doubt he was good at organizing things, managing things. He made a good COO, the chief operating officer. He made a good CEO, chief executive officer. But was that his highest calling? No. He had a redemptive calling. There was a purpose in God that was far beyond that. Those were useful. Those were instrumental. But those were not the highest calling. His highest calling was reflected when his brothers came down to him and God used him to restore them, to preserve them, and to restore the hope and the future of the people Israel. That's when he could say, brothers, I know the plans you had for me. I know the evil. I know you sold me into slavery. But I tell you this, God took what you meant for evil, and he has turned it upside down into good. And because of that, the will of God is being accomplished, and you are being preserved and sustained during this time. That was the high calling. See, salvation from God, this is the highest calling. And what can be accomplished through God's salvation, there is no higher calling than that. God wants you to be renewed in your hope as you're going through Hanukkah, as you continue in these last days. He wants you to know this. Just like he showed to Joseph, God can restore what's been taken from us. He can bring back what is lost. What's important is this. Don't give up. There's light coming. It's coming with strength. And don't turn to other sources in order to get what God wants to give to you. You may not know this. I'm going to read to you just a few sentences from a book, Jewish Literacy by Rabbi Joseph Telushkin. You know that the Greeks had taken control of Jerusalem and of Israel. You know that the Maccabees fought against them and brought deliverance. You know that God used them and then they brought cleansing and rededication to the temple. What you might not know is what happened in the next century, the next 100 years after that. And I'll read to you from Jewish literacy. It says, "It is one of the less proud facts of Jewish history that Rome occupied Jerusalem in 63 BCE, not by invasion, but by invitation." Here's what happened. The descendants of the Maccabees, the Hashmonim, the Hasmoneans, they got into a brotherly conflict. Who would rule over whom? Who would be in charge? Who would be the next king? And one of them turned to Rome to get Rome's backing. And Rome supported him. And Rome came in at his invitation, Pax Romana, for the sake of Jerusalem. Now ask yourself this question. How did that turn out? It ended up in the destruction of Jerusalem. When we put our ultimate trust in foreign things instead of God Almighty, it won't turn out well for us. There's a temptation right now. There's always a temptation. In every era, there's a temptation to look for someone other than God to provide the answer for us. And I want to encourage you, don't do that. If you're tempted, avoid that temptation. It may provide temporary relief, but it will not provide a permanent solution. And if it seems to bring relief to you, it won't bring relief to your children or your children's children or their children's children. What is better than Pax Romana? And just in case you're wondering, if you're taking notes, if you write Pax, I mean P-A-X, Latin for peace. Pax Romana, Roman peace, the peace of Imperial Rome. Not P-O-X, you know, like a pox upon you. Though it may turn into that. What is superior to Pax Romana? It's shalom from Messiah. The peace of Messiah. This is the greater peace. The world around you can't give you this peace. The government can't give you this peace. Political parties can't give you this peace. Political candidates can't give you this peace. But one can give you this peace. Messiah. Put your trust in him. Turn from everything else and turn to him. And I tell you, when you do that, the peace of God, which is bigger than your understanding, bigger than your troubles for sure, it will start protecting you. It will protect your thoughts. It will protect your heart. It will help you think straight and feel right. And you'll have peace and you will have joy. You will have hope. It will overflow. And people who used to know you will start asking you, why are you hopeful? I remember just a month ago, 6 weeks ago, a year ago, you weren't hopeful. Why are you hopeful? And you'll be able to give a reason to them. Well, I want to pray for everybody who wants more hope. If you want more hope, before this Hanukkah's over, let me pray for you right now. Lord God Almighty, pour out your hope. Mighty God of hope, pour out your hope, your joy, your peace as we trust in you. Lord, we stand before you and we say you are an awesome God, a mighty God. You raise the dead, you heal the sick, you forgive our sins and our iniquities. You deliver us from the power of death, from the power of the curse, from the power of iniquity. You bring us into the kingdom of your beloved Son. Thank you for resurrection life. Thank you, Lord, that as we're trusting in you, we can overflow with hope because your Holy Spirit, who's thinking about your plans for our future, your Holy Spirit is filled with hope. Open up to us, Lord, the gates of your righteousness and turn the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope for us. We pray this in the name of Yeshua. Amen. We're going to close with Aaron's blessing. Would you please rise? And don't forget, take a seed envelope with you. Pray over it. Ask the Lord to show you. And if you're ready today, you can meet with Craig and Steve at the welcome desk. Otherwise, we'll see you tonight at the Hanukkah party. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ye'er Adonai panavelecha v'chunecha yisa Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you so that you can arise and shine. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you peace, the peace of Messiah. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Chanukah Sameach. Amen.